And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray today that as I speak and try to expound on this, that you'd give me the words to say and teach us how we can become more like you. Amen. If you have a copy of the Pew Bible, if you want to open it up to page 1176 to the reading from Ephesians, that would be great. Two reasons for this. We're going to look slightly at the text in a bit, but also, unfortunately, we missed out the main verse that I wanted read this morning. It's probably my fault for giving Andrew the wrong things to pass on. Can I have my first slide, please? Verse 21 of Ephesians 4 says this: submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. And that is the key point that we're looking at today. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Now, some of you may have heard that passage being read and thought about, particularly in the verse 22, the call for wives to submit to their husbands, and been a little concerned about this. I know Tamsin and I have joked about this passage, and even when I was writing this sermon, we joked about it. I say joked, I joked, and she didn't find it very amusing, actually. But she'll learn. Now, I'm not going to duck this issue of wives and husbands, as Paul puts it, but it's not the major focus today. We will look into it, but the major focus is actually that verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. And if Phil, you could give me my picture. So this is where we're headed. I will look at this, wives and husbands. It's not ducking it, but it's not the main focus. So submit then. In our modern culture, submit seems to have different meanings to perhaps what it was when Paul was writing about this. It seems to imply weakness and shows that one has been beaten down to assume a lower position. Sort of like this man here, okay? He's submitting to the other bloke because he's been beaten. And perhaps if you look at modern action films, you can't imagine anyone, the heroes of these films, submitting, unless it's forcing the bad guys into submission. But I wonder if we've lost the meaning of the word, because submission doesn't have to mean this cowed reverence because you're forced into it. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, always a useful place to start, gives us this definition: that submission, or to submit, means to stop trying to fight or resist something, to agree to do or accept something that you've been resisting or opposing. Now, this occurs to us all in our everyday life. You may not be the biggest fan of driving at only 70 miles per hour on the motorway, but if you are on certain stretches of it where there's an average speed check on that, you have two choices. You either submit to the authority and say, I will drive at that speed, or face the consequences. And this can also come to us too when we submit to the authority of Jesus. Maybe you can remember the first time that you encountered God. Perhaps you resisted submitting to him. The thought of turning from a life that seemed all right at the moment to one in which Jesus was in control, it can be a challenge. Yet if you're like me, having resisted for a while, you see the better things that God offers, and so you submit to his authority and give him your life. And the difference here between speeding on the motorway and following God is the many life-changing and great benefits that living for Jesus brings. And if you're someone who's still at this point of arguing about it with God, you know, please do talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about it. So submission is an act that only the one submitting can do. If you submit, it's a voluntary act. There may well be pressure on you to submit, such as in the driving example where you get fined or your license taken away if you don't choose to submit. But you cannot be made to submit. It's voluntary. And in this passage, Paul doesn't ask us to submit to God. He says to submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. And what does that actually mean? I believe that Paul is telling us that we need to listen to and to learn from one another. We need to allow others to speak to us of how we can deepen our relationship with God. Often those who are outside of our own situation can see things more clearly, which we don't notice because as you live your life, if you do things all the time, then you tend to just not see them anymore. We become immune to things that aren't perhaps perfect in our lives, or we haven't noticed how far we've drifted. Just to put this to a more concrete example, you will all be aware that children grow. You will have grown yourselves. Children, they grow. And even children themselves know that almost imperceptibly, over time, they grow. Now, when I was a child, we used to do the obligatory family Christmas visit, and we'd troop around the country visiting various people and meet people that you hadn't seen for a long time. And it always used to annoy me that adults, the first thing they say to children when they haven't seen them for a long time is, "Haven't you grown?" And it's like, well, yes, of course I've grown. I knew that. Last year I was this big, now I'm this big. It's not that big. But people outside the situation who don't see that often, it can seem quite a startling change. And in the same way for us, sometimes when we allow others to give us direction spiritually, this can be because they're outside of our situation. They don't live our life day after day, doing the things that we do. They just see a snapshot of us. And sometimes the things that we've maybe got used to are more obvious to them. So if we are to submit to one another, I believe that this means accepting that others are able to point us in the right direction spiritually. And this can be very hard to take. Sometimes we can be guilty of what are termed besetting sins. Sins that we've been putting off sorting. Things that we know are wrong, but we've been living with them for so long that we've stopped trying. And actually, sometimes we think, I know I've felt this, that we don't want to submit everything to Christ, just those things that we're happy to give over. The rest of it, that's for me. And so sometimes we can have these things pointed out to us by others, and possibly by those who we might have considered aren't as holy or as righteous as us. Now, sometimes it's quite easy to take correction and direction, perhaps from those we feel have got a right to give it, or those we perceive to be in authority. You saw that wonderful selfie of Bishop Martin yesterday. Yesterday, when he was enthroned at the cathedral, he spoke publicly of his willingness to submit to the authority of the Archbishop of Canterbury and his successors. And I wonder whether maybe that's easier to stand up there in the cathedral and do, because you think, well, it's the Archbishop of Canterbury, they've got this right to be correcting and to be guiding. But for us, it's unlikely that maybe you'll become bishops and that sort of thing, but it's unlikely you'll be saying, I'm going to submit to the authority of the Archbishop of Canterbury. But what about your friends or your peers? Or maybe even someone from the youth group who's younger than you, and you think, why are you able to talk to me? It can be hard to hear sometimes that our lives aren't perfect. And Paul is saying, though, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Not submit to one another because they're always right and you're always wrong. And not submit to one another and allow others to walk over you. But submit to one another because this will bring us closer to Jesus. And look at the example that Jesus has set us. In the gospel reading, as we heard, James and John, they're arguing about who's going to be the most important, who's going to get the best seats in heaven. And Jesus says, this is not the way to go about it. That's not how my kingdom works. As we see in this verse 45 here, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And if we submit to one another out of reverence to Christ, we too can take that lower position. We can accept that other people have seen something in us, maybe, that needs changing, because Jesus himself took the lower position. And the counter side of this is that if we are asking others to submit to us, then we have to be willing to submit to them, to accept that they may well have spotted something that we're doing or not doing or whatever, really. But something that if we changed, we'd become more like Jesus. And if we're submitting out of reverence to Christ, then the one who's asking you to submit should be doing it also out of reverence to Christ. Not lording it over us, pointing the finger and saying, look, you're wrong, look at you. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a story, a parable, about a tax collector and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee is praying and says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That sort of attitude is not what Jesus is after. Unsurprisingly, he wasn't very impressed with this idea. So if you wish to ask someone to submit to you, Consider how and why you're doing it. Is it genuinely out of reverence to Christ? So, submitting to one another, allowing others to guide us and to talk to us and to point us to what we're doing. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's possible out of reverence to Christ. And this is where it gets slightly more challenging, because the verse then goes on to talk about wives and husbands. When I was training, my Old Testament lecturer had a favourite saying, and he used to parrot it out at every opportunity, and it is, context determines meaning. In other words, you have to look at the context of a passage to understand better what this passage is saying. It's very easy to pull verses out of the Bible and use them to prove whatever you want to. And I think this passage about wives and husbands is one that can be too easily pulled out of context. If you just take one verse alone, it's meaningless. You can't just take that one verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord, and use that as a proof text and say, therefore, we should subjugate women. And just to explain about the context, this up here now, not very clear, sorry, I've got a very bad background, is the verse as it appears in the NIV. And this is the Greek there. Now, I'm not trying to show off about my Greek. I did get this out of an interlinear Bible to try and explain it. But the Greek says there, hygienikes tois idios androsin hos to kurio. And if you look literal word-to-word translation, wives to the own husbands as to the Lord. Now, if you're anything of a linguist, you might spot there's no verb in that sentence. In Greek, they're a bit lazy with this. There's not always a verb supplied. The reader has to add one to make sense of the sentence. And in this case, the verb comes from the previous sentence. The previous sentence is submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. So the verb is submit, but without the previous sentence and the context that that provides, without it being linked to reverence in Christ, this doesn't make any sense. Context determines the meaning. And when this was written in Greek, manuscript was expensive and punctuation wasn't used. So words could be written without gaps between them, and it'd be left to the reader to determine where the punctuation came. Once you have this picture, this is one of the manuscripts. It would look a bit like that. Hopefully some of them are a bit bigger, but there are no gaps within that. You've got to work out for yourself where the punctuation came. And I think that partly our colouring of how we understand the Bible has been linked to the way that Bible publishers publish and set the typeface. In Ephesians 4:28, just as an example of this, the place where you put the comma can determine the meaning. If we look at these ones here, we have the one who is stealing must steal no longer, they must work. Or you could put it, the one who is stealing must steal, no longer must they work. Now, the way you put your comma makes quite a big difference to the meaning of a sentence. Context determines meaning there. If we look at the way on page 1176 that this is written, if you look at the way that the NIV has put this, sorry, I'll just find it in here, there's a big gap in the book, if you've got it in front of you. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ, and then there's a whole gap, and then wives submit to your husbands. And it can be very easy to fall into the trap of thinking those two sentences aren't connected. But in the Greek, in the original, they were. Without the first sentence, the second doesn't make sense. And I don't think that Paul was anti-women. In Galatians 3:28, he tells us, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So when Paul's asking wives to submit to their husbands, he's saying, treat your husbands as if they were Jesus in order to submit to them, to love them, to put them first. And in Matthew 25, we're told to treat the poor as if they were Jesus. So submitting to your husband doesn't necessarily make them better. And then there is the follow-on verses which ask husbands to treat their wives properly, to love and to cherish them. And all of this links to the initial idea of submitting to one another as to Christ. So please don't go away here feeling that women have to be subjugated. It's not about that. It's about this mutual submission. And if we were to sum up all of this, Paul is saying, submit to one another as Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not to be walked over, not to allow abuse to happen, but to recognise that there needs to be order in relationships. and that all of us need help, help from each other and to give help to each other to become more like Jesus. So as we're submitting to one another, don't go looking for faults in one another in a Pharisaic manner to make you better than them. But if someone does point out areas in our lives that we need to make changes, we are called to accept that. But we're called to accept that out of reverence to Christ. So I offer you the chance to do that to me as well. I am not immune of this. If you feel there are areas that I need to move to, please do tell me. And practice this as you go through this week and onward. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, it can be difficult sometimes to have things pointed out to us where we're not doing the best we could, where we're not following your perfect standard. We ask that you'd give us grace to submit to one another, and grace that when we do point out to others areas they need to submit, that we do it in an appropriate and proper way. And may it all be for your glory and to bring us closer to you. Amen.